great.
Yeah.
There's a podcast on Skybird Radio on the east coast of the USA and now on REM FM on the coasts of Spain. It's the Raven and the Blues, and we have live guests on a fairly regular basis. And here's somebody who was last here about 18 months ago, and that's Doug McLeod. You must have done a deal with the devil because you're getting younger as every time.
Well, that's what people are saying, but I got to tell you the truth. I don't deal with him. But I'm glad to hear that.
But life on the road must be good for you then. You're not suffering too much because you've just had, a month and a bit, nearly 2 months in Europe, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm on the last leg of a 7-week run here.
Right. 2 weeks in the UK and then back to the States.
Home.
Not for a rest, though, because I notice in May you're all over the place too.
I guess so. But, Dave, it's sort of like this with me. I say, if I get home, and my wife doesn't remember me. I can usually handle that. But if the dog doesn't remember me, then I've been on the road too long.
You have to send photographs of yourself back to the dog, I guess.
I don't think it's the photographs you're going to notice.
I noticed that one of the dates you've got in May is 27th of May. You're down in Mississippi for the Blues Festival. You're a nominee this year. And does that mean when you go along to these things, you take your guitar as well? Or do you just take your smart clothes in case you get called up on stage?
No. Well, they got in touch with me. And I'm going to play a couple of numbers.
Oh, that's good.
So that'd be nice. I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad I'm free this year that we're able to be there.
It's quite an event as well. There's some great names going to be there. So you're going to be...
I'm going to see some old friends, that I haven't seen in a long, long time. And it's just going to be a great, great, great time. And the secret is, the Monday before that, me and a fellow by the name of J.D. Smith, who was either a cousin of Charlie Musselwhite's or an old high school pal of Charlie's, we're going to the Memphis Redbirds game. See, we're both great baseball fans.
Right.
And JD and I are going to that ball game on Monday. We're going to have some hot dogs and some beer and watch a ball game.
And then for the event itself, the nominations itself, do you get told in advance or is it really a big surprise on the night?
I guess it's going to be a surprise. I don't have any idea. So I'm just glad to be nominated. I know that sounds like what everybody says, but honestly, to be nominated, I think, is an honor, and I'm awful glad. And if I should win it, then somebody's going to have to pick me up off of the floor and say, get on up there and get that thing.
Now, has the voting closed yet, or can we still vote for you?
I think it's closed now.
Too late.
Yeah, we can't do that Chicago vote, vote early and often, what I mean?
Since we met last, you've got a new album out.
Yeah.
The Utrecht Sessions, called Because You Did It in Utrecht.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think, to be honest, I think Jan, who was the president of Black and Tan, said, Douglas, we need a change. And he said, I think we need a different place for you to do it. And so you're in a different environment, And he said, to come on and do it. And I enjoyed it because there were no headphones. It's sort of like what I'm going to do with you here, right? No headphones. The engineer just took it. And it was just basically me.
Is that because you trusted the guy, in a sense?
Jan. I trust him.
Yeah, Jan was here with Boo Boo.
With Boo Boo, yeah. Now there's a conversation. Listen.
An unbelievably surreal session it was.
He's from St. Louis too, And man, the last time we were together there at BB's Jazz Blues and Soups, an old high school friend of mine, who I'm not going to say any name, but he always wanted to be around the blues guys, right? So Boo Boo and I were hanging out talking. We were actually talking baseball. We were talking about the Cardinals. And this fella come up and started to try to have a conversation with Boo Boo. And after about 30 seconds, he had no idea what Boo Boo was saying. It was a hoot, It was just a hoot, Boo Boo, you just have to listen, just have to know, because he's got that Mississippi accent, and then it's so country. He's so country. And then he probably said, thank you, Dave, right?
That's right. And on the first time he did it, I thought, well, that's kind of kind,
But we had the folks know what you...
Well, at the very end, he sort of kind of explained, which I kind of half understood. But then the BBC, he'd been to do Paul Jones' show on the BBC earlier that day, and the BBC producer came round just to say hi, and he said, do you know why Boo Boo was saying thank you, Dave? So, yeah. No, it was just a great session. Because Jan was on guitar and John was on drums. Yeah. And what happened was, as Bubba was talking, the all of a sudden they could feel he was moving towards a song somewhere. Yeah. So they just started the rhythm behind him. So
yes.
There was no what we're going to do next. It was just a matter of speech and music and speech and music. Yeah,
that's his way, man. Yeah. And he's so much fun to be with. Yeah, I love being with him. We travel together.
Right.
So sometimes we sit in the back of the van, and if it's a bad driver, we do one eye. We sleep with one eye. We kind of go like this, you know?
Talking of numbers, what are you going to do for us first?
Oh, you know what? I've seen you so often. I don't want to repeat a song, you know what I mean? I think maybe...
I think you're pretty safe if you're covering ground from the new album, I would think, a lot of
the time.
Let's
do that. Yeah, let's do a song called Come In Your Brand New Day. I wrote this song, Dave, about a thing that happens, and it's really true, and you probably know this more than anybody in the world right at this particular moment. If you're lucky enough to wake up in the same bed you go to sleep in at night, right, the very next morning, then you got a brand new day, don't you? And if you got that brand new day, like I say, don't worry about what happened. No, just don't waste that day. Brand new day. Now if you're down and all alone and everything is going wrong, don't worry, man. No, no, I'll keep the faith. Right around the corner, becoming your brand new day. And all your friends that do you wrong, and they just leave you alone. But don't worry now. No, no, keep the faith. Right around the corner, I'm telling you, it's coming a brand new day. The woman you love don't treat you right. She gone in the day, she cold at night. But I said, don't worry. Oh, no, no, I'll keep the faith. Right around the corner, becoming your brand new day. Job you got, it mighty rough. The money you make ain't long enough. But don't worry. No, no, keep the faith. Right around the corner, it's coming your brand new day. The one you love decide to leave. Your heart is shattered. You said agree, but don't worry. No, no, I'll keep the faith. Coming around the corner, you're coming your brand new day. I'll say one more. I say, I swear it's true. I didn't come here to lie to you, so don't worry. No, no, I'll keep the faith. Right around the corner, it's coming your brand new day.
New day off the album, the Attract Sessions. What made you? What was there a particular incident which made you write that, or
Trying to think about that. I had a funny feeling you'd ask that question, Dave.
Well,
I had a funny feeling you would. Well, you know, lately, I've been thinking, you know, I was doing a show a couple of nights ago, and I said, man, I've been writing a lot of songs about how important it is to enjoy every day you got. And I guess that's what it's about. I feel very, very fortunate. I was thinking about, you know, years ago when I was younger, in my 20s, I had a very rough time, and I was thinking maybe of helping myself to leave this planet. And I said to myself, well, Douglas, let's just see if we can make one more morning. Let's just see if we can get through tonight and see it. And I wrote a song about that. It's called Broken Dream in a Broken Room. And I realized, not immediately after that, but as time went on, how important every day is. And you know that old saying, youth is wasted on the young, because it's when you get older, when you realize how precious every day is, and that if things ain't all right now, they're going to be all right. But you got to be here.
Yeah.
You got to be here. Otherwise, you're going to miss it.
My 9,000 subscribers or thereabouts on the podcast know, and the people on Skybird Radio on the east coast of the USA know. Something you alluded to, though, and the listeners who are listening for the first week now at REM FM don't know, is that I had a stroke in December, which is what you alluded to earlier on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does kind of concentrate your mind a bit, because until things like that happen, you are immortal, you know, you can go on forever. And then all of a sudden you realize that you are, if you can get through it, you're pretty lucky and you can keep on going.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here,
too. You're one of the special guys in the world, man. You wanted to spend, those folks ought to know, man, he makes a great cup of coffee, too.
And from a man who knows Europe pretty well, that's quite an accolade. Now, Europe, I noticed that the gig list, you're traveling further afield now, doing different countries, more countries in Europe.
I know.
Are you developing more favorite places to go?
You know, there are certain places that I really look forward to. Like, I just was in Portugal, and you and I talking about how well they cook fish down there. I mean, the fish come right off the boat to the grill.
Yeah.
In some of those places. Oh, it's delicious.
And, lots of salt and that's it, yeah. And great salad, yeah.
And this, you know, when you come to the United Kingdom, you know, because that's where America's from, you know, I mean, we, you know, come from here. And you just get a sense of history. And I love Wales, too. I love Wales. I love going there. I can't read their language. I need a GPS for that.
Do you do Spain? Have you been doing Spain at all?
No, I haven't done Spain yet, but they're talking about it. I think I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Some great venues on the coast as well.
So, not going wood, huh?
Yeah. Because you're being listened to all the way from almost one end to the other now, right along the coast section. And so it's quite a sizable audience listening to you for the first time. And when it came to putting the album together, did all the tracks, were they all in place? Or did you have to write some down specially to fill the album out? Or how did it work?
Funny. I thought I had the record all set. And then when we went in there, it was so, excuse me, it was so free that... it was one of the most creative albums I think I've ever done. It was more or less by the seat of my pants. We just do it.
What, just take after take after take? Or
Yeah. Most of them first takes.
All right.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's the way it's done here then almost, yes.
Yeah, the way it's done right here. Yeah.
And it's what, your 13th or 14th album?
Well, I think
counting.
I think I don't know.
Yeah.
If you count the downloads, they're somewhere around 17 or 18.
Right. And there's the training ones as well, of course, isn't there? Yeah. And
band ones, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed, man. I can keep on going.
And it's on general release everywhere now, or is it just coming out in different continents or places?
It'll be
around?
General release April 21st.
All right, yes.
April 21st will be the...
Good. So it's... But people can get it from the Black and Tan store, I think, can't they?
They can get it from the Black and Tan store.
Mm-hmm.
And
over the front of the stage still? Or are you undoing?
Absolutely. I got them. I mean, I'm going to get them today after I see you, I expect. So,
And in terms of when you head back to the States, I notice you're kind of busy through California and also into other southern states, too, for the most of the rest of the month. So.
Yeah, I'll be in through, I go back to my old stomping grounds, Kansas City, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Then on down into Memphis for that ball game with J.D., and then Tunica, and then Louisville, then back home, and then we're doing the Monterey Bay Blues Festival. I forget the Mississippi Valley,
right,
and the Flatlands out in Kansas. There's a lot of things going on.
Just you, or you and a band you put together for these?
Just you. It's just me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You and the guitar.
Me and Spook.
Yeah. And now, when I first met you, you didn't give it a name, but I guess it had a name then. I just didn't ask you, I suppose. Yeah. Why Spook?
Why Spook?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful story. Do we have time?
Yeah, we have time.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. Well, I got this guitar. I did a concert in Tiburon, which is near San Francisco, at Eric Schoenberg's place. It's just acoustic. It's like 40 or 50 seats, and there is no microphones. And it's totally acoustic. And there are beautiful guitars all around his shop. And I happened to walk by. I saw this one, and I just went like this. I said, whoa, what a sound on that thing. But I figured I had enough instruments, you know. Mm. So I said, no, I don't want it. So I went back, and my wife and I were talking, and I told her about this. And I said, man, I heard a real beautiful guitar. She said, why don't you get it? I said, oh, baby, I don't know, you know, because of the money. Our son's still in college and stuff. I don't know. She said, go ahead and get it. You know, I said, okay, well, I'll call him up. So I called up Eric. I said, Eric, do you still have that guitar there? He said, yeah, I got it. I said, well, how much would you sell it for? And he gave me a price. I said, oh, I said, can you bring it closer to the national price? Because I endorse these.
Yes.
And I said, can you get me closer to that? He said, well, how about $20 more than the national price? I said, you got a deal. So they sent it down to me. Mm-hmm. But when it came down, it had like the worst buzz. Just the travel.
Yeah.
Something happened to it. Horrible buzz on it. So I sent it up to National. Don Young worked on it, who was the president. He sent it back down to me. When it got back down again, the same buzz. But it left without a buzz. So I had to send it back up to him. So he said, okay, Doug, I'll see what's... And so he finally said, he called me. He said, Doug, this is what I did. I took the whole guitar apart, everything, and I put it back together. There is no buzz. I said, there's no buzz? He said, no buzz. And if you can hear it now, when I'm talking, you can hear it. This guitar is so alive, it's resonating now as
right.
I talk, right?
Yes, you can hear, we've got the microphones open, they're about 6 inches from the guitar, but you can hear the noise.
You can hear my voice.
Right.
So he said, I'll send it back to you. I said, okay. So I open it up. Open up the case and I tune it up. I play it. No noise. I call up Don. I said, Don, no noise.
Yeah.
He said, really? I said, yeah, now I know what I'm going to... I said, do you know what caused the noise? He said, Doug, I have no idea. So I said, now I know what I'm going to call this guitar. He said, what are you going to call it? I said, I'm going to call it Spook. It's been Spook ever since.
What age is it? How old is it?
It's brand new.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's brand new. It's a like 90... let me see. I can look in here and tell you. Mm. 2006?
Oh, right.
Yeah. But she's like an old soul.
Yes.
You know?
Because Ian Parker came with a National, which was 1929 or something, which
that's beautiful.
He'd bought... sight unseen, he just saw it that was available in America and said, send it, you know. And it's staggering. Has no idea of its history at all, about where it may have been before, you know, whether it was a little old lady who played it or whether it was Charlie Patton's guitar. No concept at all.
Yeah, really. There's no idea. These are great. Somebody ought to just write a movie about the life of a National guitar.
Yeah.
Started off in...
Because they're built like Harleys, aren't they? They're built to work and built to last.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, it's rough. I mean, this thing was knocked over in... somewhere in Holland, and some guy accidentally, I thought he was so apologetic. I looked at him, I said, don't worry about it. I said, this whole thing will be all right. Don't worry about it.
Let's make it work for its living again. What are we going to do next?
Lean down to get my capo, Dave. Hang on for a minute. I think we'll do this one here. Let me get this right. Yeah. This is called A Long Time Road. Long time road, and I made this by myself. Long time road,
and I made it all by myself. Ghost I left behind, haunt somebody. I stood on a mountain, I lived up that long time road. I stood on a mountain, oh, looking up that long time road. I'm looking at time I've yet to know. And I stood in the valleys all along my long time road. Oh, in the valley, y'all, all along this long time road. I'm chasing ghosts, Lord knows I've always known. Myself, long time road. I made it all by myself. Ghosts I left behind, they haunt somebody. I left behind, Lord, I haunt somebody. Ghost I left behind, haunt somebody. Long time road, and I made it all by myself.
New album available in your shops and also online as of almost the end of this month. Doug McLeod on The Raven and the Blues on REM FM and also on Skybird Radio. Does Jan Mittendorp, the boss of Black and Tan, play an active part, or did he play an active part in putting the album together? You know, or was he just sort of sitting in the wings watching?
Sort of sitting in the wings. He was sitting in the wings watching, and just Jan is the kind of guy that doesn't say anything unless it's wrong. So they didn't say too much. So
if he's quiet, it means it's going okay.
That means it's going okay. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And you've been with Black and Tan for what, 4 or 5 years now, haven't you? Really?
I don't know. Yeah. It's been a good relationship.
Mm. And it's an odd situation, though. I mean, the fact that the most of the artists on Black and Tan are actually American-based, and yet working for a Dutch record label.
Yeah.
And it's obviously, have you seen a difference in the way that the way the blues is being marketed, sold, and developed over the years? I mean, is it getting easier or better, or is it just the same? Really,
it's pretty much the same. It's sort of thing that there's a if I can invent a word, a de-education of this music.
Mm.
Many people have a connotation of this music as being very sad music.
Not with you.
No. I mean, I miss, you know, I don't understand with the young folks coming up playing it, that they miss the whole thing about, like, there was so much humor. Those old guys, when I was with them, some of the best shows were not the shows on the stage, but in the dressing room. You hear those guys laughing, and enjoying life and just having fun. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's part of blues too. I mean, Willie Dixon said it. He said, the true facts of life. And that, now, if you take that literal, what he's talking about is joy, happiness, sadness, wonderment, bewilderment, all those things that go into this thing we call life. That's blues. Mm. And I believe this, Dave. If you can laugh at your problems, they diminish. Mm. If you laugh at your successes, your big head diminishes. Yes. And your life is more normal. And you look better. You live longer. Things are better for you. And all it takes is a simple being able to laugh. So, like I say on my shows, a lot of my shows, I say to people, tomorrow morning, before you wake up, don't leave your bed without packing your sense of humor. Make sure you go out in this world with that. Because if you learn to laugh at yourself, that's real important. And you laugh at this world. And like, you know, you can see somebody cut you off in traffic. Instead of getting mad and get that road rage. Just sit back and say, thank God I'm not married to that. Let it go. Let it go. You know?
Do you think living in California affects the way that your life is in a way? Because, I mean, California is a kind of very different state to Mississippi or to Florida, where I've just come back from.
Good question, yeah. I think so. I think California, I mean, I moved there because of my time in the Navy. I went to boot camp there. And I was standing out on the grinder, and this is during the Vietnam War, and I was standing up on the ground. I didn't know where I was going to be stationed. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know what was going to go on. And I said to myself, if I'm lucky enough to get through this thing alive, I'm going to live in Southern California because it's beautiful. It's warm in the day and cold enough at night for a blanket. Mm. It's really, it's a special place.
So we've got a lot of listeners on down that coast, including a couple in San Diego, keep saying, I've got to go to San Diego again because it's just a great place to live. Yeah,
so that's a great
place. I've only been there a couple of times. But
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
That's sort of like Perth in Australia.
Yeah.
Same kind of climate, same kind of feel.
You're a couple hundred miles further up the coast, aren't you?
I'm in a little town called Lomita.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Handy-ish for San Francisco, I guess, is it? Handy-ish to get into San Francisco, or is it still quite a long drive?
Oh, you know, for us, that doesn't matter.
That's true, yeah.
You know, for us, 350 miles is easy. 400 miles, that's a day's drive, easy.
Are you finding that America is different as you travel across it? I mean, it's like an American coming to Europe and saying, I've been to England and I've therefore seen, I know Europe. it's very remiss to imply that you can know America by visiting one state or a couple of states because it's a big country in between. But on my last visit about a month ago, I noticed a change in Florida. And I know Florida is totally untypical, but I thought America is changing and it does seem to be, in some perspectives, becoming almost more cosmopolitan. And people in Florida have a bigger, or seem to have a wider understanding of the world beyond the state and the world beyond the USA. Is that unusual or did I just see something odd?
Well, I think a lot of things are happening now in America. I think there is an awareness coming. I think that with the new elections coming up and with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, I mean, they have brought, no matter which one you choose, I mean, they have brought a new sense of life and a new sense of reaching out, that America will reach out again. And I think you're right. I think there's a lot. It's not so much, I think we're changing from being that little isolated family that you go to your little Kmart, you get everything, you stock up everything, you get your DVDs, and you sit in your house and you go, I'm so afraid, but if I stay here, I'll be all right. I think America's starting to open up. I think it's good for America. I think it's real good for us, and I hope we keep doing it.
I think some good times ahead once we get beyond this year and into next as well.
I think so. I really do. I truly hope.
Let's not talk subprime and all that sort of stuff. Let's move on to music again. And where should we go now for music?
Well, I don't know. Well, let's do this one. This is a song that comes from very spooky tune in here on Spook. This song comes from a thing that happened with George Harmonica Smith, Dave. You know, I used to go and visit with him. And we would sit on his porch and talk and hang out a little bit. When his wife was home, we'd drink Coca-Colas and just hang out on the porch because she was a church lady. However, when she would leave for a church meeting, things had changed. George then would decide to do something else. And he had two refrigerators, one inside his house, where you get your egg, your butter, your cheese, your milk and juice and such, right? But the one on the side of the house, on the outside of the house, had a big old chain around it and a padlock. And in that refrigerator is where he had his barbecue meat and his beer and his extra cigarettes. So when Teen would leave, George would go around, open up that lock, open up that refrigerator, come on out with beer, and we'd sit on the porch and drink beer and smoke pell-mell cigarettes, you know? So one of these days, George told me this story. Out of the blue, he just said, "Dub, I'm going to tell you a story." And he told me the story about in the village that he was from in Mississippi, that if they saw what we call harvest moon sitting low in the sky, a big old orange moon, that the people would worry because a horse with no rider would come into the village that night, pick up somebody, and the next morning, you know, would be gone, and one of the village people would have passed on. So they worried about that. So when he told me that story, I mean, it took me, what, 22 seconds to say that. Like I said, George took 25 minutes. It just moved me so much that I wrote a song about it. Go a horse with no rider. Tell me, what's that Kariana? Tell me, what's that Kariana? Through the night, come a horse and no rider. When the moon hang low, early in the evening, when the moon hang low, that's when the old folk tell me somebody bound to go. Broken dream, torn down shack. Broken dream, torn down shack. Won't that hog get rattled? He don't look back. I said blind, but I feel to see. They say blind, I feel to see. Won't somebody tell me who will it ride to be? Is right to be. That Coriana tell me.
that coming yonder. To the night, come a horse and a rider. To the night, come a horse and a rider. To the night, come a horse and a rider.
First of all, about 3 weeks ago when we played it from the album Utrecht Sessions and recorded a lot of played there live by Doug McLeod on the Raven and the Blues. Doug, as always, it's been a joy to have you, an honour and a privilege. And the website where people can find out more about you and buy your albums and everything else is at...
Many of them! The main one is Doug-McLeod.com. And you spell McLeod, M-A-C-L-E-O-D. And we're also on MySpace.
Yeah.
Crossroads.
And if you miss the hyphen, you get a solicitor.
Yes, you do. And you don't need solicitor.
No, you don't.
Hopefully.
So Doug-McLeod.com. And there you can learn his history and all the things you've done over the years. Doug McLeod, thank you so much for being our guest on the show this week.
Dave, truly, truly my pleasure. Thank you.